Okay, now let's see. What else we need? Oh, housekeeping. Housekeeping. We really, really need everybody to take these tests, okay? So many of you are doing that, and, you know, we're really, really aware of that. And so they're on the Internet. Now, the Internet test has improved. Nicole, you are allowed to go to the Internet and take it as many times as you need to, okay? Secondly, Nicole, and this was the first thing we put on the Internet, the first thing, you couldn't see the answers. And so when you're writing down the answer, all 66 books of the Bible, and you don't know if you put 3 Samuel in there or not. And so you couldn't see your answers. And so in the new format that's there, that's the Internet way of doing it. Now, we love for you to take it on the Internet. You know, it's on our website, pblcoc.org. And please be aware of that. But if you can't take it on the Internet, then we've got the written test back here. And so just take the quiz that's there and take it home and answer the questions that are there, because we're soon going to be giving out the tags for those who have answered the first cards, the white cards that are in there. We don't want to spend a lot of time explaining this, but we really need everybody that we have ordered the dog tags. It'll have your name on it. It says it has your name on it. It says I can't read what's on my dog tag because it's upside down and backwards. But it says Jenkins Dan, Soldier at PBL Church of Christ. And so we'll be having these. And remember, the second Sunday of February, we want everybody to have their dog tags here with them to encourage our young people. And thank you, young people, for being involved in this. And thank you, teenagers, who are not ashamed to go to an elder and say, I'm ready to say, to answer these questions. And so high school and down, find you an elder. If you're above high school or if you're a high school dropout or whatever, then go to the Internet or take one of the written tests that's there and do it that way. But I don't know how to say this, and I'm not complaining, but David and I have spent hundreds of hours on this. And for us to get feedback from you where you're taking the test and we know you're learning the answers, has very little to do with you getting a recognition tag to add to your dog tag. That's not what it's all about. But it's feedback to us that says all of these hours we've devoted to this, that we're being rewarded for that, if that makes sense. And then, as an encouragement to these young people, when these young people are studying, and they're doing great, our young people really, really are doing great, we need to encourage them so that on that Sunday, whenever they will, in a public way, be getting their dog tags, the rest of us, in a more private way, will be getting our dog tags. Okay, I'm missing a dog tag. I don't know where it is, around my collar, is on my back. I don't know. Shoot me, okay, it's got to be here somewhere. All right. Are you ready? How many books in the Bible? 66. Oh, me. This side is so smart. We'll start all over. How many books in the Bible?
66.
Oh, that was all right. How many books in the Bible?
66.
How many books in the Bible?
66.
All right, you got one more chance. How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
I thought I could trick you on that, all right? How many books in that first division of the Old Testament, how many books are there in that first major?
Five,
and they're called what? Not the names of them, they're books of what?
Moses.
Books of Moses, all right? And the names of those books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The next section is what?
History.
How many books of history?
12.
The next section, how many books?
Five,
what's in them?
Poetry.
What's in the next division is five major prophets. Nicole, you can go back and erase your answer. Okay, I love
major.
You. Okay,
major.
All right. Major prophets, okay. How many books in the minor prophets?
12,
all right. So you got all of that. That's good. What language is the Old Testament written in?
Hebrew.
New Testament?
Greek.
All right. Where's the best place to keep your Bible? Now, there's someone over here that at least got it started right. Where's the best place to keep your Bible? Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You got that? 119:11. I missed it. Got to do it again. I got to get it right. Where's a blessed place to keep your Bible? Psalms 119:11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. You got it? Got it. All right. Next question. What does the Bible do for me? This is a new one. We haven't had this one. It's on the back of your soldier card. If you flip up there, what will the Bible do for you? You did it just right. I cannot believe you didn't start reading the verse. I cannot believe you didn't say, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What will the word of God do for us? Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119:105. Got it? I'm loving this. I don't know if you know. I don't know if you know what's happening right now to your heart. There's some good things happening to your heart right now. Where does faith come from? And can you quote the verse? We haven't memorized it. Can anybody quote it? Oh, here's someone over here that can quote the verse. Some of you said, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's not what that verse says. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Guys, you can't make two processes out of it. That's why you can quote verses and you don't know where they're found. You've memorized the verse. Now you got to go ahead and memorize where they're found. You know, it's just not that way. I mean, you remember back when they had the CB radios and you had that 10-4? You know, I memorized like Psalm 110:4, good buddy. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And I threw the good buddy in there just because it helped me to remember where that was found with that CB radio years ago. All right, let's get to the book of Genesis now. What's the word Genesis mean? Beginning. I couldn't. Maybe I've got the Joe Holland ears tonight, but I almost couldn't hear that. What's the word Genesis mean?
Beginning.
Beginning, all right. I hope you're working on this. And by the way, I know there are a lot of questions here on this blue card, and that is that beginning card. It is the prophet card. By the way, after the prophet card, there is a priest card, and after the priest card, there is a king card. And but you got to get the prophet card before we can start and get all of this. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Put your blue cards down, unless you're visitors or something, or, you know, if it doesn't do any good for you to read the answers back to me is what I'm saying. And so if you're struggling, it's all right to look down, but you'll learn it a whole lot more. Name the five books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Genesis means what?
Beginning.
Now, here's a quiz. Is Harrison here tonight? Harrison's not here. How many days did God use to create the world?
Six,
all right. Now, see if you can enlighten me about what he made on the first day. Enlighten me might be a clue, okay? Can you enlighten me about what God made on the first day?
Light.
Give me a firm answer about what he made on the second day.
Firmament.
And that's the sky, that's the atmosphere. And so the Bible talks about the waters that were above the firmament, the waters that were below the firmament over there in Genesis chapter 1. On the third day, what did he make?
Sea,
land, vegetation. That's three. Sea, land, vegetation. You got that? What did he make on the third day? Sea, land, vegetation. This side, what did he make on the third day?
Sea,
land, and vegetation. This side, do it backwards. Vegetation, land, and sea. All right, that's good. All right, that is good. Fourth day, what did he make?
Sun, moon,
and stars. What did he make third day? Sea, land, vegetation. Fourth day, sun, moon, and stars. Got it? Fifth day. Now, fifth has two F's in it. The way I memorize this, you can memorize it any way you want to. But on the fifth day, what did he make? King James, what did he make?
Fish and fowls.
All right. That's the wrong answer on the card. Fish and fowls, both of them start with F. the answer on the card is fish and birds. And so we need to, that'll be the answer that we're going to use. But maybe that'll help you. What did he make on the fourth day? Third day, what did he make?
Sea,
land, and vegetation. You're so smart. I think this is so great, okay? And the fifth day, what did he make? Fish and birds. Sixth day, what did he make? Animals and man. What was the name of, what happened on the seventh day? Better get that in here. God rested, all right. Who was the first man?
Adam.
Who was the first, what was he made from?
Dust.
Who's the first woman?
Eve.
What was Eve made from?
Adam's
rib. Do men have one rib less than women?
No, just Adam.
You ever heard that?
Yes.
You know, that's wrong. Okay. Adam, you know, it's true of Adam, but it's not true of others. You'd be amazed how many people have heard that since childhood. I mean, I was taught that by my Sunday school teacher, who also told me there was Jesus that lived on this earth. And, you know, and so I just trusted her. She told me about God making the world and about if you count the number of ribs. And my grandpa used to count my ribs. Come over here, Dan, let me. And he'd get up about right up in here and that would be the end of it, you know. And so I've never been able to let others count my ribs to see if I've got one missing or not. Let's see. God made Adam on the sixth day, right? Do you know what time of day he made Adam? Just a little bit before Eve. Okay, that's because Eve was created on the sixth day. Eve was created on the sixth day. I mean, you read Genesis chapter 1. Do you know, do we have that memory verse in here? No, key location. Turn the page to the inside. Key location, the verse that says God created male and female. Where's that found?
Genesis
1, you're allowed to look down, okay? You're allowed to look down. Where would I read in the Bible about the Lord God said, let us make man in our own image? And the Bible says, and male and female created he them. Where's that found? Genesis 1:27. Now, folks, you've got 6 weeks, 2 months to learn all of the things that are on this card, but you need to be working on this. If I were you, I would take my Bible and I would, in the margin of my Bible, just because it'll help me learn, I'd write these things down. I think that would really, really help. For example, where's the flood found? Key chapters. Where's the flood?
Genesis
6 through 9. Now, we haven't talked about it tonight, but that's one of the questions on this card. What's in Genesis 1 and 2? The creation. Have you got a mental picture of that? Genesis. What's in Genesis chapter 3? Is that here at all on the key chapters? I haven't even looked at it. I'm trying to look at all three cards. The first sin is in Genesis 3. God placed Adam and Eve in a garden. Anything unusual about the garden? Yeah, they had one river that ran out of it. The river became four rivers, and we know the names of one of those because it's in the news again and again. What river's that?
Euphrates.
Now, there's another one that's mentioned there, but it's not translated by the name that we use. It's the Hebrew name for that, and that's Hiddekel is in the text of the Bible, but you may have a marginal reading on the river Hiddekel, and that's another river that's in the news. And that's not Euphrates. It's the other one that's over there. What's that? The Tigris and Euphrates rivers. I mean, we've got a lot of our troops that are over there, and they're seeing these very rivers that are there. Now, evidently, obviously, the flood, or at least sometimes, that description of one river that goes out and becomes four rivers, and one of them even runs down into Africa, if you'll read all of that in Genesis chapter 1. Evidently, the flood changed all of that terrain. But some of those rivers are still there in the very place. I'm fascinated. I don't know. Have you read the book of Genesis? It says it's where the gold is. You ever notice that? When I was 10 years of age, man, and I heard about, you know, the gold rushes and everything. I didn't tell anybody about it, but I knew where there's some gold hidden. And I didn't tell anybody because I knew that verse was in the Bible and I wasn't going to tell anybody. It's like those rocks that Joshua put in the middle of the Jordan River. And the text says, and they're there until this day. And I'm, 10, 12 years of age, and I think, I want to go scuba diving one day and find those rocks. You know, because I thought under this day meant until 1900 and whenever I was 12. But anyway, you've got that description of the things that are happening there in the garden. Now, in the middle of the garden, what was to be found there? Tell me the number of trees in the middle of the garden.
Two.
The number of trees in the middle of the garden is two. Now, you got to think, some of you, because you've been doing the blue papers that we've got out there. Dave, would you have any more of those things printed? Or we're about out of them, need to print some more, I guess. The ongoing questions of the book of Genesis. Some of you have obviously been studying that. You've been reading your Bible because you've read it. And I think maybe two, maybe three different people, some have been in the church 50 years or more, came and said to me, I just saw something in the book of Genesis. Do you know, Dan, are you aware that there was only one tree they were forbidden to eat of? I grew up thinking, you can't eat of either of those trees. That's not what was forbidden. I mean, whenever Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, does God say you can eat of all the fruit, the trees in this garden? Of every tree except one. And that's what the Lord said. And so, in the day you eat, you'll surely die. Wonder what chapter I'd read about the fall of man. What chapter would I read about that? That's chapter 2 is actually, well, chapter 3, you're right, it is. But when God said the day you eat of it, you're going to surely die, is in chapter 2. And that's where I was, but I was on the wrong page, and you got the right answer, and Nicole gets the A+, okay, for giving the right, in spite of the fact she gave two wrong ones a while ago. But it's major prophets and then minor prophets. Oh, you know, I know you just said that to try to encourage people around you that so they wouldn't get discouraged. So, but there were two trees in the garden. And they were allowed to eat of every tree in the garden except one. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Mike, was it you that asked me, Dan, do you think they ate of the tree of life? I said, Mike, what would you have done? Of all of the trees that are in the garden, and here's these two special trees. You know, don't you eat dessert first? I mean, surely, you know, your mama said you got to eat, clean your plate, and then you get the dessert. And now that you're an adult, I hope you eat dessert first because, you know, you got to make up for all those years you got mistreated and there was child abuse by that mama who made you eat all those food for those folks in China. But anyway, but there was that tree, and they had access to the tree of life. Well, somebody says, what about when they were driven out of the garden? Well, there was that sword there was an angel there with a flaming sword. And when I was a young preacher, I talked about a flaming angel with a sword. But it's an angel there with a flaming sword. I said some other things a whole lot worse than that. But there's an angel with a flaming sword that's standing outside. And the indication is not lest they go in there and they take fruit and one bite and you have life forever. Evidently, access to the tree of life is an ongoing thing. Where's the tree of life right now? Book of Revelation says, to him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, the Garden of Eden was called a paradise. And so there was a paradise there, and there's a paradise over in the other place. David, what have I left out? Anything you need to talk about, okay? They're there in the garden. Well, they disobey God. Now, we have a question that is for those who think they know everything about the Bible. Where in the book of Genesis do you read that the devil was in the Garden of Eden? Shh. Smart aleck. Where in the book? Why do we? Are you aware that Satan is not mentioned in the book of Genesis? Are you aware of the fact that the word devil is not found in the book of Genesis? And so here's a question for you to work on next week, but you can't call Carol. Here's a question for you to work on. I'm serious. Somewhere in the Bible shows and identifies that the devil was there in the Garden of Eden. So that's your hard question for this week. We're trying to get something in here for everybody. Now, if you're having trouble memorizing how many major prophets there are, how many minor prophets there are, you may not want to touch that one. But you understand what I mean. That's just a question for anybody. If you want to get inside and do some digging, get your Bible out and find in the Bible where the devil was in the Garden of Eden. Now, we know he was there because of the curse that was brought on Adam and Eve. What was the curse on Adam? Because he disobeyed God. The way we say it, you'll earn your bread by the sweat of your brow, right? What was the punishment on Eve? The pain of childbirth and the sorrow that's involved in that. What happened to that old snake? What was the punishment on the snake, on the serpent? You'll crawl on your belly, and what will you eat? Dust. Every picture you've ever seen of that snake in the Garden of Eden, where is he? You know those photographs, actual photographs? They're on YouTube. Adam put this on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and you can see it tonight. And there is that snake, and where is he? Slithering around up in that tree. Guess what? He was not a slitherer until he was involved in the temptation of man. Now, we do know that Satan was there because of the first promise of Jesus. In fact, I would not all be surprised if there's not one of those key locations there that is the first prophecy about the coming of Christ. One of the key locations. Now, for sure, you need to write this in the margin of your Bible. The first time God ever gave the theme of the Bible. What's the theme of the Bible? In three sentences. In one word, what's the theme of the Bible?
Jesus.
In three sentences, what's the theme of the Bible? Someone is coming, someone is here, and someone is coming again. Where's the first time the Bible says that someone is coming? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And seriously, let's make this a Bible study where we learn some things about the Bible. And take that Bible that you use all the time, and in the margin of the Bible, write down this. And if you can't remember what verse it is, you know, take a magic marker and write and circle it in blue, and then circle it in pink and verse 15, until that verse just jumps right out at you, because somewhere in the Bible the Lord says that the seed of woman was going to bruise the head of the serpent. Folks, that's not good enough. We're soldiers of Christ. We've got a sword. And we need to be able to say, here's the first promise that someone is coming. How many prophecies are there in the Bible about the coming of Jesus?
332.
Boy, we're weak on that one. How many prophecies in the Bible about the coming of Jesus? 332. Now that may not be on the white card. That's not the prophet card. That's the priest card. It's the priest card, is it? Okay. How many prophecies about the coming of Jesus? 332. And that we're talking about on the white cards. And so 332 times God says, where is that first promise found? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, in your mind, you've got to see the flow of the Bible. You've got to see these 15 years of Bible history, these 15 periods of Bible history. And so on that king card that has the 15 periods of Bible history, where does it all begin? What's the first division of Bible history that we have on that card? The creation. And so you've got all of those stories that are related to the creation. And in your mind, as you just, here's the Bible that's laid out in front of you. Someone is coming. Well, why does he need to come? Well, there's sin. Where am I going to read about the fall of man? I know where that is. That's in Genesis 3. Where's the first promise about His coming? If I can tie those two together, now all I've got to do is memorize the verse. It's Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And so it's not that hard if you just go over and over and over it in your mind. I think Bill Hatcher said, how many times you got to repeat something before you know it? Anybody remember Hatcher's number? Bill Hatcher said, he said it at least seven times, because these folks who heard Bill Hatcher preach here 35 years ago still know. Bill Hatcher says you got to do it seven times to know it. Now, I suspect that's probably right. And so you can't say Genesis 3:15, yeah, I've got it. No, you need to think about it. And if I were you, I would take the white card, now I would take the blue card, and I'd keep it with me. I'd look at it again and again, put it beside the bed. But you know, before you go to sleep tonight, just flip through the cards and read these things. I love what Bill Sproul said, and Bill's a name that many of you will not know. It was David's grandfather. I never met a man that was more spiritual than Bill Sproul was. Bill told me, he said, "Dan, when I get up in the morning, I don't take even a drink of water. I don't read the newspaper. I don't eat a bite of food until I read the Bible." He said, when I wake up in the middle of the night, and, you know, before I come back to bed, I've got my Bible right beside the bed, and I read some verse in the Bible as I turn the light off and think about it while I'm going to sleep. You want to be spiritual? You want to have faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from reading the Bible in the middle of the night before you go back to bed and lying in bed thinking about it. I've heard several comments about that sermon this morning. It wasn't my sermon. All that was three verses in the Bible. And all we did this morning was look at, you know, where Jesus says, look at the birds. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. We tied that to that other verse over in the book of Matthew that says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And all we did was just take those verses and meditated. What do those verses think? And I know my life was changed in the making of that sermon. And if I'm any judge, Jeff said it. He saw some birds today. And he said, when I saw some birds today, I thought about that sermon. And that's where spirituality comes from. It's not just knowing 66, 39, 27. But it's the confidence that it gives to me that when I pick up the Bible and I'm trying to find some poetical verse in the Bible, I know where the books of poetry are. And somebody says, well, in Isaiah chapter 14, and I know, oh, that's one of the major prophets. And all of a sudden, when I'm reading the Bible, something is happening inside of me called faith. And every one of us, but especially you young adults, you got to work on this. You know, if I get inside your head and say, what do you need in your heart and in your life? It's faith. I don't know how on earth you live in godly lives. But this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And that's what Sunday night is all about. We're going to have a lot of fun doing this. I hope you're having a lot of fun doing it. We're going to have some contests. We're doing it sort of left side, right side. We may do men against the women. You know, I don't know. I mean, guys, I know that God compensated for taking that rib away from him and giving him more brain power to compensate for that. And so you'll have a chance just to show how good God is, and he's giving you more brain power. We'll see. But we'll do some of that. And I'd like to do young people against the older people. And I'd like to do the 20s and 30s, the young adults, whatever that group is called. I'd like to do that against these old folks. And because your mind, is quicker, and it sticks up there a whole lot quicker. You know, we got to get inside the book. And so we're not just here on Sunday night just trying to learn who was the first man and first woman. We're learning what sin is and what sin does. The funeral that we had here, was that Saturday? Friday night. You're thinking about two brothers in a car drinking. You think about a mother whose son is gone. You see, thy word, Psalms 119, verse 105, it is a lamp to my feet. And all it takes is just to take that and let it be the lamp of our lives. And God loves us so much that He wants to keep us away from sin. It's not some arbitrary kind of thing that God has thrown out of there. Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word have I put in my heart, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And so I take these things, write them on my heart, and I carry them with me. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And it's what we try and do on Sunday night. We have fun doing it, but we want to change lives. We're not trying here to be able to be a church that can say, well, I know the major divisions of the Old Testament, the major divisions of the New Testament. Look how smart I am. Look at all the dag togs I've got. Our dog tags, either one, you know. And I'm so much better than everybody because I have more dog tags. That has nothing at all to do with it. But you get inside the Word. And the reason we have the test and the dog tags is to encourage you. You can sit in here and learn this in a general way, but you don't know it until you're ready to write it down. So we got 2 weeks before we do our first presentation of awards, especially to our young people. And thank you, young people, for taking the test and being ready. Because it's going to change your life. It is changing your life. And thank you, old people, for taking the test. And thank you, middle age, less than middle age, young, slightly above teenage people. How's that sound? No, Nicole told me how old she was. She's 26 plus a few months. And I think it's 340-something months or something. I can't remember.
Gorman's not here for you to pick on him.
Gorman's not here for me to pick on tonight, okay? Soldiers of Christ, arise. Let's stand together, and Gary, lead us in a song, okay? First and last verses.